Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
And if you want a title, because I always get asked for a title after the event, well, I'll tell you, the title is Free to be Filled. Galatians chapter 5. So let's read these verses from verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. So we want to live a productive, fruitful, joy-filled life. And Paul explains exactly how to do it in Galatians chapter 5. And he starts the chapter with an assertion. After all he said for the last four chapters about the difference between grace living, you know, falling upon Jesus and it's all about what he did, and law living, about rules, rules, rules. All he said about do, we've got to do stuff to please God, against done. It's all been done by Jesus on the cross. After all he's painted this, the black and white, the old law against the new life in Christ. After all he said about that, he says this. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free. Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. So there's an assertion, and then it's followed by a command. You know when Nelson Mandela came out of, probably maybe before lots of you were born in 1990, or some of you anyway, but I'll never forget Jesse Jackson saying, how amazing that a man could come out of that brutal experience, 27 years, treated so unjustly. How on earth does he come out of that better rather than bitter? And there are some Christians who journey, and tragically, the stuff that life throws at them and the decisions they make, the bad decisions, they end up bitter rather than better. But that's not for us. The life of the Spirit is, as we journey with God, we become better and better. Bit by bit, more and more, the work of the Spirit in our life, we're cooperating with him, and we realize it's for freedom that Christ set us free. And so we stand firm and don't let ourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Daniel Strickland was speaking somewhere. I might have actually been at Ivy on Sunday, so most of you didn't hear this. But she was talking about Haiti, and of course we have a special heart for Haiti. And we sponsor all these kids in Haiti. And I'll be going to Haiti in a few weeks' time again in January. And Haiti was the world's first black republic. It was an amazing country. 700,000 slaves treated so barbarically and so terribly. But then there was a rebellion. Some of these slaves said, we're not going to live like slaves anymore. We're not going to accept this. And they actually overthrew the government. An amazing country, a pioneer country. And yet the bizarre thing is, in the face of all the poverty and all the bad choices and all the voodoo, actually, that's gone on since then, more and more, Haiti's become a country that's been defined by slavery. There's so much slavery goes on, human trafficking, this rest of X where little kids are slaves within the family. So the people who've been set free have gone back to slavery. Paul says, that's ridiculous. How could you even do that? We're meant to be thoroughly free people, better, not bitter. It can happen, of course, if we don't, if we're not, as the passage says, led by the Spirit, and if we don't keep in step with the Spirit. You might have heard me say this before, but I remember as a baby Christian being taught that, you know, we're like on a cart strapped to two donkeys as a Christian. The new life and the old life, the spirit life and the flesh life. And I was taught what we need to do if we're going to grow in Christ is feed the good donkey, feed the spirit, feed the new man. And the picture was, you know, the Apostle Paul, who had this great stallion galloping towards heaven with this scratchy old donkey, you know, flapping around, and the cart's going that way. And some Christians are a bit like feeding this donkey, feeding that donkey. Which one's it going to be, you know? But actually, it's probably an okay picture. I hope so, because I've used it enough. But what it doesn't paint is the picture of the spirit life is so much stronger. The Holy Spirit is so much stronger than the enemy. It doesn't paint the picture of the cooperation rather than the feed, feed, feed. You know, it's not like, oh, we're going to work so much harder. I'm going to fight sin. Oh, feed, feed. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. We don't do that because we have to. We do that because we get to, don't we? And as we there's a beautiful rhythm of grace about that. It's not all this work that's got to feed this donkey, or else, oh, I'm going to fall back into my sin. No, there's a power of the Holy Spirit that we cooperate with that transforms our lives, and bit by bit, we become more like Jesus. Do you like the sound of it? Our former lives are portrayed in the Bible, our old lives, as slave lives, slaves to sin, slaves to guilt, slaves to the devil. If we could wake up to just how slavish it is to be without Christ, maybe we'd get more excited about the rescue mission we're on as a message, don't you think? You know, Bob Dylan said, what was it, way back? You got to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Something like that. And that's true, isn't it? We got to serve somebody, and everybody's serving somebody. They're either serving the devil or serving the Lord. And how terrible that there's millions of people, even in our city, who are serving the devil, and they're slaves to sin, slaves to guilt, slaves to rebellion. How horrible. Why do we even want anybody to experience that? And all Paul wants for us is to not live that life, but to enjoy the glorious freedom, primarily freedom of conscience. That's the big thing that the Holy Spirit brings. Big thing is that Jesus, I'm not a slave to guilt. I've got a free conscience, which Christ has brought us, so we can be God's intimates. Did it slap anyone in the face at prayer day when Luis Palau said this? God doesn't have any favorites. We're all his favorites, but he does have intimates. Did anyone think, whoa? Anyone write that down? And he shares the secret things with his intimates, those he's intimate. He shares his secrets. Man, I want to be one of God's intimates, don't you? I want to know how to do God's work, God's ways. And I believe in this passage in Galatians are some of the keys to get to that life of an intimate. Being filled, you see, primarily isn't demonstrated in power and in growth as a ministry and scale. Being filled is primarily demonstrated in love. That'll tweak, won't it? Being filled with the Spirit is not demonstrated primarily in power, but in love. But there's no point in tweeting it unless we start to live it, is there? When you read the fruits of the Spirit in verse 22, these famous verses, fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are you like, oh, I long for that in my life? Anybody feel that? Anybody think, oh, I really want to be like that? You could say, couldn't you? You could say, Jesus is love, Jesus is joy, Jesus is peace, Jesus is forbearance, Jesus is kindness, Jesus is goodness, Jesus is faithfulness, Jesus is gentleness, and Jesus is self-control, and I long to be like Jesus. Great. That is so good. A sure sign the Holy Spirit is working in your life and your heart is you're like, I want to be like that. Because a lot of people don't want to be like that. A lot of people want to live more like this, don't they, to be honest? A lot of people want to live where the acts of the flesh are obvious, in sexual immorality, impurity, in debauchery, in idolatry, and witchcraft, and hatred, and discord, and jealousy, and fits of rage, and selfish ambition, and dissensions, and factions, and envy, and drunkenness, and orgies. That's how a lot of people want to live. But I hate that stuff. I don't want to live like that. We hate that stuff, don't we? You know why you hate that stuff? Because the Spirit of God's working in your heart. Well, there was a day when you used to love that stuff, but you don't anymore. And it's a great sign. Be encouraged if you feel, I want more of the fruit of the Spirit. And remember, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. When we get the Holy Spirit, we get the full package. And all these beautiful things will grow in our life if we can just get filled and stay filled and walk in the Spirit. It's a fascinating list, don't you think? It's a fascinating list because I'm sure there's, you know, people in this room who will say, okay, well, sexual immorality and impurity and debauchery and idolatry and witchcraft. Naughty people. Drunkenness, orgies and the like. Disgusting. But we'd never get involved in that, the message, we hope. But then in the middle, you know, they're framing all these acts of the flesh. The people will not inherit the kingdom of God, the things that they're modeled by. But in the middle is jealousy and fits of rage and selfish ambition and dissensions and factions and envy. We just need to guard our hearts, don't we? It can easily be represented in a Christian ministry. All that stuff can easily, unless we put it to death and then get filled. Can't you? To be honest, I am literally Luis Palau's biggest fan now. You know, having spent a lot of time with him, just travelling around various meetings, and him and Pat, they're just marvellous people who've journeyed, but they're just so real. And a guy who I was chatting with a guy on Sunday at this church, and he did a thing called Tell Wales in whatever it was, 1977 or something, I don't know, way back. And went the length and breadth of Wales, doing football stadiums and all that stuff. And the guy who was the operations guy was just saying, he was Ace Lewis, but he's so real. And he said it just occasionally he could just blow his top, you know. And he remembers one time when Lewis just, you know, did his fruit because he wasn't happy about something, and then came in to the whole office team and said, I'm so sorry. He said, I've got a Latin temperament. And then he said, no, I haven't. I'm a sinner. And I thought, that's great, isn't it? You know, it's not about me lying to you. It's sin. Let's name it. Let's fits of rage. You know, it's sin. And the key thing is, yes, we are going to do some of this stuff, but we're quick to repent and we're quick to name it and we hate it and we don't want to be like that. We can experience more and more of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. In fact, we're meant to experience more and more, ever more evident in our life. You know, we're not what we should be, of course, but wow, we're not what we were. And there's more of the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control evident in our life, or else something is deeply wrong with our walk. People say sometimes, maybe to Christians, you're not much of a Christian. A Christian wouldn't do that, would they? To which we must answer, you didn't see me before I was a Christian. You know, you should have seen what I was like before I met Jesus. Because it's a work of the Spirit as we do two things. A, cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Twice in this passage it says, walk with the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I literally try not, honestly, to get out of bed in the morning without praying, please God, before I put my foot on that carpet, will you fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit? Will you fill me now? You know, I spend time practicing the presence of Jesus. And that is so important. Because the key question isn't, were you filled with the Holy Spirit? Did you have an encounter, a power encounter, where you were filled with the Holy Spirit in the past and it was a defining moment in your life? That's not the key question. The key question is, are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, right now, 20 to 10 on a Tuesday morning, you're being filled. Are you being filled right now? Are you just open to the Holy Spirit? And as a result, is that fruit growing in your life? Just like naturally, you don't have to force an apple tree if it's healthy to produce apples. The only reason it's not going to produce apples is if it's diseased, isn't it? So there'll be a natural, if we can just learn to A, walk with the Holy Spirit, keep in step, and B, kill that sin. Crucify the old nature daily. We need to do it daily. Daily we take up a cross. Actually, it's interesting, isn't it? Paul doesn't even say take up your cross. He says crucify. Kill it. You know, not just take up the cross, actually nail that stuff to the cross. Die to that old stuff daily. Die to those passions and desires every day. And keep in step with the Spirit. We've crucified that old stuff. And daily, we need to take up our cross. And as a result, there's this beautiful thing of spontaneous growth in the truly healthy Christian. It just happens. And people, you meet somebody, you know, like you have a connection with somebody in 2003 and you see him again and have a strong connection 17 years later and you think, whoa, you know, you've grown. You've grown in God and in character and in just heart and discipline, and you just, everywhere you go, you just bless people. Oh, don't you want to be like that? What should be happening as we go on with Christ is sin's power is decreasing in us. And I'm thinking, oh, I've been a Christian for 45 years. And still sin has this, you know, tempting power. Of course it does. But that should be decreasing in terms of how much I give into that stuff. Being transformed from one degree of glory to another is what we're meant to experience. And my strong desire this morning is that in 25 years' time, I'm not the same man as I am now. There's more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. There's less fits of rage and less jealousy and less envy, and I just more and more like Jesus. And for some people, if Jesus came back today, it would be more like a rupture than a rapture. You know, because they're so stuck down in this earth, and like they'd have to drag their arms out of joint to get them up to heaven. They're so stuck down here. Well, I don't want to be that kind of person. I want it to be a little step when I get to heaven. Clearly, we're not going to be the finished article. There's always going to be stuff that holds us back. But that happens as I cooperate with the Holy Spirit, as I long to be filled, as I get to spend time with Jesus, as I make good choices. Last question, important question this morning. Is it Strictly or X Factor? Who's a Strictly Come Dancing person here? Me and Ruth. Oh no, one or two of them. Who's a Strictly Come? Who's an X Factor person? Who really doesn't care? Who actually, like me and Michelle, is both Strictly Come Dancing and X Factor? What a Saturday night that is. Me and Jane, that's it. But actually, I hardly ever get to do it because I'm always out doing something on a Saturday night. But, you know, there's nothing better, actually, than locking the door, putting the fire, and watching all of Strictly Come Dancing and all of The X Factor. But you know what's happened this year? What's happened this year is a terrible thing. And either I'm becoming older or camper, because I actually, this year, prefer Strictly Come Dancing to X Factor for the first year. And the thing about Strictly Come Dancing that's fascinating is why they look wrong at the start is because all the time they're thinking about the next step and they're doing the right thing, but it's like you can just see the mind, oh, what do I do? It just feels jerky and wrong and hard work, and they're kind of doing the right steps but the wrong way. But as they progress through the competition, as they work harder, and as they cooperate with their partner better, suddenly there's a natural flow. Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, we love it, don't we, Jane? No. Anyway. Right. Actually, it is a gorgeous picture, a wonderful picture of what's meant to be like as we dance this amazing dance of life. At first, when we become a Christian, it's a bit of a jerk. It's a bit of a struggle. We're constantly thinking, okay, right, I need to kill that sin, kill that sin, kill that sin. But as we more and more journey with Jesus, and more we're just aware of his presence, we're practicing his presence, we're making good decisions every day. Yes, we spend time with Jesus in the morning, not because we have to, but because we get to. Yes, we're quick to repent of our sins. We learn to walk in repentance. We learn to practice his presence. Suddenly, there becomes a natural outflow. Oh, don't you long for that? The fruit of the Spirit grows in us. And in some ways, we don't even notice it, but others notice it. And the world's more blessed through our obedience and our faithfulness and our fruitfulness. And we're filled with the Spirit to overflowing. So rivers of living water flow from our inmost being. Wow. And everywhere we go, people get blessed and changed and touched. And kingdom stuff happens wherever we go. Just because we're that person who's daily killing that old life. Yes, we'd make a choice. Occasionally, you know, those old sins, those old temptations will come back. We just kill it. Daily, we crucify it. And we're open to the Spirit and we're full. And before we know it, bit by bit by bit, we're becoming more like Jesus and more effective. And we're becoming intimate with God. And he starts to share his secrets with us. And he sees we're faithful with a few things, so he gives us more things. And we suddenly, ordinary blokes and girls like us, are able to make a mark in this generation. This is the only thing that really counts, isn't it? So we're going to stand together. Let's all stand. And we're going to pray. And the lovely thing is we can lay hands on one another and say, fill my brother. Fill him. Fill him. Not so he can have some power encounter today, actually. Just so he can demonstrate the beautiful fruit of the Holy Spirit. Help him to just crucify today all the old self. Why would we even want that? We don't want that. If we've got the Spirit of God in our life, we don't. We hate that stuff. It's a sure sign you're a son or a daughter of God. So we're going to pray that. We're going to pray the best blessing we can on that person next to us, all around the room. Let's go for it. Then we're going to pray for some more stuff. Amen. Great. So I want us to pray. Actually, I want us to, you know what? I'm just going to thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you for the marvelous gift of your Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that we're not struggling and striving to please you. We have your energy and your fire inside us, giving us your hearts, giving your desires. We pray we can be a movement truly filled. Holy Spirit, move amongst us. Be very present in everything we do today. Thank you, Lord, for that precious gift. Thank you for the message conference and all we saw, Lord. Just such a special time that we could be part of that. Thank you, Lord, for what happened in Wales over the weekend. It's just such an acceleration of your work there and the wonderful things happening. So many gathering around the vision there. Continue to bless it, Lord. Continue to grow that work. Thank you, God, for just a spectacular week in Wales. So many encouragements. Keep encouraging them. Keep blessing them, Lord. Yeah, that place where, you know, land of revival that, right now is pretty cold. Set it on fire, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.